Morning Show on Sports Radio 92 on the game from the Kia Studios. John Fricke, Hugh Douglas. Full crew today. Getting ready for the Hawks tonight as they take on the Charlotte Hornets. 6:30 pregame show with Andy Bunker. 7 o'clock tip for the game tonight in Charlotte, North Carolina. And see if the Hawks can get win number 4 on the year. And they've already gotten one on the road. Maybe they can get another one on the road as well. We're getting ready for, of course, the Falcons on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. And another road game. Your chance today to vote on the first half MVPs, both offensively and defensively, at 929 the game. We have our offensive MVP ballot and our defensive MVP ballot. And so today, two polls for the price of one at 929 the game. Certainly, you could talk about it on Facebook as well. Yesterday, the coaches show, Jack Crawford, age 30 now, coming out of London, England, moved to the United States when he was in high school. And wanted to play basketball. I mean, Jack's a big guy. He's 6'5", weighs about 290 pounds. He's a big dude. But he couldn't play basketball. They wouldn't allow him to for some international reason or something. And so he found himself in high school playing football, a brand-new sport to him. Wound up playing so well in his years in high school that Penn State offered him a scholarship. Did so well at Penn State, he got drafted into the NFL by the Oakland Raiders, and now has wound his way to the Atlanta Falcons, where he's doing big things on the defensive line of the Atlanta Falcons. Yesterday, he was the player profile player of the game with the coaches show, and Wes and Dave talked about a number of things with Jack, about how the players are handled by the coaches, and they started with a question about how the coaches have gotten this defense all to be on the same page.
That's a huge credit to the coaches and what they've done and how they teach and the standard that we play with here. You know, it's not, you know, different players are coming in, and you know, we've had some veteran players, some younger players have stepped up, some players have played different positions, and it's easy when you have a standard that we all look at and we are clear on. And Coach Quinn always, you know, reverts our attention back to the standard, so there's no confusion about what's expected of you when you're on the practice field and when you're in the you know, when you're in a game. And I think that translates, you know, to Sundays. And it's funny, you know, just the more time you spend with each other, you just somehow that chemistry just translates to better understanding on the field and better communication. You know, once you start to learn how everybody plays, then you understand when it's your turn to be aggressive and when it's your turn to kind of be a little bit more cautious and make sure you play your responsibility. So yeah, man, it's funny sometimes. You know, I've been on teams where that's been the same case and it just hasn't clicked, and here I have to admit that the brotherhood is a real thing. And once you buy in, good things happen.
Interesting, because you mentioned that, you know, these guys and the chemistry. You came here a year ago through free agency, then you got hurt. So some of that was sidetracked. I understand it's got to be more comfortable this year. What else is it about this year for you that has obviously been very beneficial with this group? And now, obviously, the emergence of all these players that Dave's talking about.
I mean, just, you know, for me, I just think it's the communication amongst each other. I think, you know, for me personally, I've gone out of my way to put extra attention on recovery and trying to stay, you know, working on small things that actually pay dividends on the field, like stretching, rest, recovery, small things like that. And they put a big emphasis on that here. You know, there's other teams that, you know, they just expect every player to kind of take care of that themselves, and typically the younger players, rookies, you know, second, third year players, if you feel like you can practice, then you don't feel like there's any need to kind of, you know, pay any attention to your body or recovery or stuff like that. You could just think you can do it every day. And I think that the, you know, the program here, the strength coach, the trainers, and Coach Quinn, they all put emphasis on that. Make sure you put, you know, even if you feel good, make sure you pay more attention to your body and make sure you focus on, you know, rest and recovery. And you know, it's funny, but you know, we see these young players stepping up and playing roles that they probably didn't think they were going to be playing this year, and they realize what they're capable of, and that just builds confidence. And then once you make a play and you see your teammates cheering for you, you know, that's just it, the confidence just keeps building, and I think that's what's happening here.
Jack Crawford here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game on Dan Quinn Coaches Show. We got a couple more minutes with you, Jack, and want to ask, multi-sack day yesterday, and that's cool. You and I had a chance to talk post-game. I know it's a product of everybody playing well around you. You're the first guy to tell you that.
Yeah.
But there's something, when you got a defensive line that's got Tack and it's got Vic, and then you and Grady on the inside, and now you rotate other guys in there. It's not just you four.
Right.
But you four on the field now, all of you are multi-sack guys at some point in your career. Right. That's got to be a problem for people when they're trying to prepare for you.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's like I said, back to the chemistry standpoint, you know, it's just we all working and working to our strengths, and being on the field with Grady, I mean, he's a force on the inside. That makes my job a lot easier. And then playing with Tack, I mean, you know, again, he's a force. And Vic, I mean, his speed is so threatening that, you know, it doesn't always get recognized, but offensive lines have to deal with his speed, that it causes so much disruption for their offensive line that it helps all of us. So, you know, and everybody else. I mean, you know, yesterday I got a sack off T-Mac's pressure on the inside, and, you know, I just played off of him. And that's another chemistry thing. You know, I've played with Terrell 4 years, and, you know, just seeing, you know, one defensive lineman cross your face, it's the split second that it takes for you to kind of understand where your position is and where the gap is on the offensive line. Then, you know, that's the difference between a completion and a sack.
Right.
You know, so it's a chemistry thing. And I think that, you know, only better things are going to come from the group because, you know, we're starting to understand how we play. And a lot of us work well together.
Yeah, they do work well together. And as a group that I think that gives me the most hope for the second half of the season isn't necessarily the offense, because, Hugh, I expect that the offense is going to do its thing. That defensive line, now that it's healthy, now that it's back, that defensive line has got to exert its will. And we've seen it in the last couple of games where they've started to do that. They've got to be that kind of group.
Yeah, they're going to be the group that decides how far this Atlanta Falcons team goes. We know that this offense is starting to be what we thought it was going to be all season long. It's starting to look like it's going to shape up to be that. But defensively, that's what you have. You look at and you say, okay, this is the biggest concern. But with that being said, John, you look around the NFL and you look at some of the better teams, the teams that have better records. Defense is not that huge factor like it once was for whatever reason. So it's going to be, to me, I think the team that defense starts to play well towards the end of the season is going to be the one that is going to dictate how far their team goes. I mean, to be totally honest, look at the Rams defense and all the points that they've given up this season.
Right.
You look at the Saints defense. They've given up a lot of points.
Kansas City.
Yeah. These teams are giving up a lot of points. Patriots team giving up a lot of points. So it's one of those things where, for whatever reason, if it's because of the ruling, the way that, you know, they don't want nobody getting hurt with the targeting rule or whatever, that defenses have not fared that great this year as far as giving up points and whatnot. So the team that defense comes to play later in the season is going to have a better chance of getting their team to the promised land.
Well, that defense certainly is, buttoned down in the last couple of games. They really curtailed and contained Saquon Barkley and Adrian Peterson. And that forced the other team to be one-dimensional, and when you take that away, and that's a credit to the interior of that defensive line, but boy, you've got a lot of guys that are really starting to play with chemistry, as Jack Crawford talked about. And it is still kind of weird. Jack, you and I, and Tanitra and Wendy, everybody that covers the Falcons, we know Jack's a wonderful guy. He's a really nice guy to talk to. Yeah, but it is weird to hear that English accent.
A little bit. Cheerio, like you're about to ask for tea and crumpets. Tea and crumpets, cheerio.
It is a little cheerio. Funny.
Yeah.
Especially out of such a big guy. You know, I mean, here he is, you know, with that British accent. But Jack can play. I mean, he talked about McLean and Shelby and Sonat and Jared and just, you know, kind of focusing in, you know, and Brooks Reed and Tack and Vic and everybody and how they're all kind of on the same page. And, boy, if those guys just play solid football, if they could get pressure on these quarterbacks, if they can move them off their spot, as Jack said, what does it take, Hugh? I mean, you know the position. It's an instant between a sack and a completion.
Yeah, it is, man. And I was talking about, like, you talking about that Dallas Cowboys defensive line last night and the way that they were playing. And the first thing that jumped out to me was like, man, they're running some tight stunts. You know, they were stunting up front, and they were keeping their stunts and stuff tight. I was like, wow, that's some pretty good work they're doing up front. Same thing with the Atlanta Falcons. They need to get a little bit better on the stunts, but they're starting to put pressure on the quarterback. They're putting pressure on the quarterback. They're getting around the quarterback, and you see with that pressure coming off the corner that Jack and Grady, they're starting to benefit from that.
Yeah, and one of the things that Dan Quinn talked about yesterday when he addressed the media was the defense and the growth that he's seen in the defense ever since Grady came back.
Defensively, where I thought in that stretch of games where it was especially challenging, I wanted to make sure that at the end of it, the core principles of who we are, it's the speed, the relentlessness. So it can't be about just one missed gap. It's got to be the effort that sets us apart. And over the last few weeks, I've certainly seen that part of our defense come to life.
Yeah, he has. And they are rallying to the ball, Hugh, like I haven't seen them do in quite some time.
I mean, that's the way, especially when you play in a team. I mean, I think it was more so you saw how fast they were last week because of the way the Washington Redskins play. They're not a team that really wants to throw the ball down the field. Now, they threw the ball down the field. For the most part, they want to dink and dunk, and they want to, you know, get the screen game going, get the ball in the flats or whatever. Atlanta Falcons did a great job of pursuing, did a great job of, like Coach Johnson used to say to us, turn it back into the Sharks. You know, make sure that you don't let anybody get to the outside. Keep everything inside and let your playmakers make plays. Did a great job of that, man. And you saw that team speed really take over. The one thing that this team has always had going for them is that they've had team speed at every level. And when you know if you want to go into a game and you want to try to dink and dunk this team, that's going to be a tough one because they can pursue and they do a great job of pursuing. Every man to the ball. That's the way that they play. That's the way that they practice. So you saw a lot of that last week because of the way that the Washington Redskins wanted to try to play them.
We're talking about the Falcons and taking your votes on our Twitter at 929 The Game this morning on The Morning Show with John and Hugh. Who was your offensive MVP in the first half? Who was your defensive MVP in the first half? It's not a surprise that the offensive MVP is a route of a vote, but the defensive MVP is pretty close. I voted for DeMonte Casey. Now, you can vote for Grady Jarrett. There's no question that Grady is the leader on the team. But Casey was asked to take on a role with both starting safeties down, Rico Allen and Keanu Neal, for the year, and he's turned into a ball hawk who has kind of changed things on that defensive secondary. I mean, let's not forget, they went into that Washington game. Yes, Washington is the greatest stretch in the field, but they didn't have Keanu Neal, Rico Allen, or Robert Alford, who was injured last week, and hopefully he can return for the game against Cleveland. That defensive secondary has been mix and match, and you saw some guys who have to step up and provide, you know, not only minutes, but, I mean, plays. Richards and Neesman. And I have the world's biggest love-hate with Brian Poole. Always have ever since he's been with the Falcons, because at times Brian Poole, you're like, he is the most exasperating player, and then he turns around and does something where it's just spectacular.
I mean, yeah, guys learning, man. I mean, guys learning on the fly. I mean, that's basically what you're talking about when you talk about this Atlanta Falcons team. Another guy who's been kind of learning on the fly, John, has been Isaiah Oliver. Mm. You know, he was out there last week, and I think he gave up a touchdown. So it's one of those things where Coach Quinn believes in his guys, and the only way you get better is trial by fire, really. I mean, especially under these circumstances for this season, that's the only way you're going to get better. So you got to go out there and you got to play, and you have to. The one thing that I like about Coach Quinn and Coach Manuel, for that matter, is that it sounds to me, not being in the locker room and not having anybody that could tell me this, but they really are more teachers than yellers. And what I mean by that is they knew the mistakes that the players were making. But it feels to me like it wasn't one of those things where you go into a meeting and you get browbeat. It's not like one of the things you're going to be like, damn it, what were you thinking on this coverage? And why didn't you do this? And did it? I don't think it's like that. It sounds to me like more like, hey, man, you know, I appreciate the effort. You know, what could you have done better? How could you have made this play a lot better? And when you come from that angle of teaching, it makes it easier for guys to go out there and want to do better. And you've seen the growth of this defense over the last few weeks, because you're talking about guys who hadn't played a whole lot that are pressed into duty, that are starting to come around now.
Falcons got a little bit of help on Monday Night Football. We'll tell you what happened last night. Maybe they can get a little bit of help day after tomorrow on Thursday Night Football. That would be a good thing. We'll update you on the playoff picture in the NFL and what happened in Dallas last night. I think we have big news coming today. In the National Football League, we could indeed stand by for news.
You mean like Jason Garrett getting fired?
Yeah, stand by and see if we get. Oh, he ain't gonna get fired. He might not be the only one.
Man, who else getting fired today?
Vance Joseph?
I don't know. Not yet. I don't think so.
John Elway has already come out and said he is not firing.
Yeah, well, that kiss of death could just happen. You know, Jerry Jones gave him the kiss of death. You know, have we got the kiss of death for Dirk Cutter yet?
Not yet.
You want to fire somebody today, don't you?
That's John's mantra.
John always wants to fire somebody.
I want to fire somebody. I'm in a firing mood.
That's John's mantra. Somebody's going to get fired right about now.
Well, someone's got to pay for that.
Here's one for you. Okay. Kansas fired their head coach this weekend.
Yeah, the three that have been fired in college football so far, Kansas fired its head coach. Bowling Green fired its head coach, Mike Jinks. David Beatty at Kansas. And, of course, everybody knows that Maryland fired its head coach because he deserved to be fired. Ohio State should have fired theirs, but that's beside the point. And we could get more coming. Hey, listen, Clay Helton could get bounced this week. Bye-bye. Even though he won the Pac-12 last year, the folks at USC are like, bye-bye. We want Clay Helton out of here.
Yeah, USC hasn't been right for a while.
This year has been bad. You lose Sam Darnold. Anyway, that's over here. Let's back to the National Football League. Last night, good news for the Atlanta Falcons because the Tennessee Titans were stomping on the Cowboys in Texas, and Marcus Mariota was not to be denied.
Titans have second and two at the Dallas 7-yard line. Mariota flips it forward. Utah pass. Smith flipping his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Titans!
Touchdown, Titans! The Titans did get another one from Mariota, who ran it in on his own. Three touchdowns for Marcus Mariota. He had the MVP kind of night he needed to have, and the Titans win 28-14, and for Marcus getting back to 500 on the season.
Being able to get back to 500 was very important, and we've got another one coming up, and that's kind of the nature of the beast, nature of the business, and we just got to get ready for the next one.
All right, so big win for the Titans, but bigger loss for the Cowboys because they dropped a 3-5. Then they get disrespected on their own star, Hugh Douglas, when Kevin Byard picks off Dak Prescott in an awful, awful, awful pass, trying to hit Amari Cooper into double coverage in the end zone. And Byard then runs with the pick and runs out to midfield and does the Terrell Owens and sticks it right on the star. The total disrespect.
Yeah. I got to say, John, I kind of enjoyed that a little bit. I kind of enjoyed the fact that the Tennessee Titans, you know, took it upon themselves to invoke T.O. when he played for the San Francisco 49ers. Just disrespected the starter.
Did you ever have a moment at Old Texas Stadium? Because I assume you played at Old Texas
Stadium.
Yeah,
we played the
right?
old one. Yeah.
You would have had a moment where you would have had the ball in your hands from a fumble or something that you could have stuck it at the star?
Nah. Yeah. When it did. Didn't think about that. Did some disrespectful stuff to Troy Aikman, though. We got after him a little bit. We disrespected him a little bit. But, not nothing to the star. It was one of them things, man. As a Philadelphia Eagle, like anytime you play the Dallas Cowboys, anytime. I mean, you just wanted to give it – like, that was one of those games where you just wanted to give it to them, like, a little extra. So, I was kind of excited when I saw that. It was a little exciting.
And so if Dallas is 3-5 halfway through the year, this is not going as planned for one Jerry Jones, who was saying that after the game.
Where is your patience level right now?
What do you mean by that?
How patient can you be?
I really don't know without being tried. I don't know how to – articulate my patience or lack thereof, and I don't. I'm not trying to be smart. I just don't have an assessment of my patience right now.
Yeah, well, he said it was a step back for us too, and he reiterated that Jason Garrett's job is not in trouble, and then of course that is the kiss of death.
He's supposed to say that, John, but you can look at the they cut some screen, they cut some cutaways last night from the game, and you saw him in the box like. It's amazing. Like, you got to know when you're in the stadium. And coaches, I love how coaches do it when they show no emotion. But when owners do it, you know, he's going to have that conversation. I would love to be in the room and see how that conversation go. Because, you know, Jerry thinks he knows everything about football.
Oh, yeah. No, he
so what the hell you
do
doing?
Know
what the,
everything about
what
football.
What the hell you doing, man? What you doing? You lucky you know nobody else want this job because you'd have been fired. Nobody want to go coach for the Dallas Cowboys.
2 years ago, they're the number one seed going into the playoffs. Remember, the Falcons were the number two seed. They were the number one seed
and
going
got in, bounced.
And got bounced by the Green Bay Packers.
Bounced, yeah.
In an upset,
everybody was talking about
right?
all that, talking about the Dallas Cowboys and what they're going to do this and that. And I ain't going to lie, I was a little nervous until they lost. And you can see in my voice, just the glee that I'm displaying right now because they did.
They go from that loss after being the number one seed to out of the playoffs last year to 3-5 this year. I don't know how Jason Garrett eventually keeps his job.
Because nobody else wants that job. Because you already know what it's going to be, John. Think about it like this. The last decent coach they had, I was about to say Bill Parcells, but I'll say Wade Phillips. Wade Phillips was a decent coach. Wade Phillips has had a lot of success. He's won a Super Bowl with the Denver Broncos. He's been a good coach. I think he's with the Houston Texans now, if I'm not mistaken. He's with the Houston Texans. He's been around the block, but he's a well-respected man. No question about that. And you had him, and you fired him. And a lot of people feel like Jason Garrett is just a puppet. Excuse me, he's with the Rams. I'm sorry. He's with the Rams. I knew he was with the Texans at one time, but now he's with the Rams. That's right. But my point is this. He's a well-respected coach. Well-respected coach. And he was coaching the Cowboys. You fired him. Because obviously I'm thinking that he had too much to say about the team that he wanted to build. And Jerry felt it built it another way. Parcells basically told you what it was, Coach Parcells, when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
He said that, you know, the guy wants you to cook the meal, but he don't want you to buy the groceries. I mean, that analogy right there explains it all. Jason Garrett looks at it from my outside looking in, from my perspective, like he's just happy to be there. He has a job. He's had a job for 9 seasons. 9 seasons of mediocrity. What does that tell you?
When Tex Ram owned the Cowboys, they had one head coach. One in their entire existence. Tom Landry. That's it. And then Jerry Jones takes over the team, and since then they've had Jimmy Johnson, Barry Switzer, Chan Gailey, Dave Campo, Bill Parcells, Wade Phillips, Jason Garrett, and soon number nine.
Yeah, but part of that is because you have a guy that's in position that feels like he should be coaching the team. So in essence, he wants an extension. He wants a hand that can go in and just do everything that he tells him to do, and he builds it his way. Because when Jimmy Johnson was coaching the team, they had a rift, and you know, he got rid of Jimmy, and he brought in Switzer. Switzer was able to get them to, well, they coached themselves because you had enough veteran leadership on that squad that you can get back to the Super Bowl. And then after that, it was down here. When the veterans started to leave, that's when you started having problems. Now Jason Garrett's there, and he just looks like a puppet. 9 years of mediocrity.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not complaining about it.
I'm not complaining about it either. I mean, we'll have a lot in the NFL. Big Thursday night game 2 days away that we'll talk about as we head towards Thursday, but just kind of put it on your radar. The Panthers trying for 4 in a row, go on the road to face the Steelers, who are sitting atop the AFC North. So that a big game between the Panthers and Steelers on Thursday night. Hey, there's news out of the swamp this morning that Dez Bryant was meeting with Stinky Town and that Brandon Marshall will go in and meet with them because the Stinky Town people believe that beyond Michael Thomas, they need another player out there. So they work out Dez Bryant. Now they're about to work out Brandon Marshall. I mean, gee.
Well, neither one of those guys are going to be the focal point of your attack. They just, like, come in and give you some good work. But I tell you, the one that really has you thinking is Dez Bryant. Well, has you wondering, like, oh, how the mighty have fallen. But for Dez, it could potentially be a great position to be in. You're talking about he said that he wanted to stay in the division at one point. That didn't happen. Hasn't had a whole lot of job offers since the Baltimore Ravens job offer.
Mm-hmm.
And to be
– Yeah, why did he turn that? Wasn't that like $21 million?
Because he was humbled. That's the only thing I can think of. He was humbled in that. So he thought he was going to be in a much better situation than he was. So he's being humble right now, John. And for him to be able to potentially go to the Saints and the Saints in the position that they're in, that might be a nice spot for him to land. He might get the last laugh. He might get the last laugh as far as the Dallas Cowboys is concerned.
Yeah, one final little story here. We in the NFL kind of looking at some of the headlines. You'll see it out there where the bookmakers on Sunday took a bath in the NFL. They lost $7 to $10 million between the books in New Jersey and Nevada. Now, we're not talking about all the other legalized gambling that's going on, but the big bookmakers lost a lot because certain teams just covered, and it just became one of those days where they took a bath. So there's a story out there. Bookmakers have the worst Sunday they've had in a long time. They lose $7 to $10 million, and all I could think about reading the story was, ha, ha, ha,
ain't that a good thing?
Too bad, sucks to be you.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Ain't that a good thing?
Yes, it's a very good thing. I'm glad they took a hit. You know, I mean, they should take hits more often, you know. Jiminy, you know, I mean, out there complaining, we had a bad week. Look, make no mistake about this with Las Vegas, okay? Las Vegas does not rise and fall on whether the casinos make money. Okay, that's not Las Vegas doesn't make their money in the casinos or the sports books. They make their money in hotel rooms and restaurants. And they make so bloody much in hotel rooms and restaurants that, you know, if they break even in the casino and lose a little bit, they're okay. You know, I mean, the casino's just the draw for you to spend gobs of money on an overpriced hotel room and buffets for $70. And yes, some buffets in Vegas cost $70. Try the buffet at the Wynn. That's probably $70 a person.
What, are they feeding you 24 hours?
No. It's prime rib and king crab. $70 a person. Yep. Been there, done that.
Well, you can eat all day at the casino, though. Eat good. Eat real good.
When we get back in a moment, Sean Elliott, what kind of changes does Georgia State make? They're now playing out the string here. We'll talk with the Georgia State head coach live and talk a little college football with him next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on The Game. Big day of college football. Welcome back to The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll get the college football playoff poll reveal tonight, 7 o'clock on ESPN, and we'll see. 1 through 5, we're not saying. It's 6 through 10 that's going to be interesting. Really, to see where.
Yeah, those are the ones you want to argue about. Mm-hmm. Five, you want to argue about well, what, five really through 10.
Yeah, yeah. 1 through 5. Really ain't
no, much ain't no need to argue about anything else but 5 through 10.
Right. Certainly no argument about number one. Georgia State heads on the road this week to southwestern Louisiana, what used to be southwest Louisiana, to face the Louisiana Raging Cajuns. And we are joined on the waveforward.com hotline this morning by the head coach of the Panthers, Sean Elliott.
Coach, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes.
If I can get you a plane ticket, you come down there and play a little bit of linebacker for us?
Coach, hey, the spirit is willing.
I'm not sure you have. But any
I don't have any eligibility or no lateral movement.
Well, that's okay. I mean, we'll put you in there 3rd and 2 or 1. Make sure they're running downhill.
Hey, you know, coach, I probably do better at D tackle than I would at linebacker.
That's okay. We need one of those.
You know what, coach? You alluded to last Saturday that there were going to be some changes made. Could you kind of expound on that a little bit?
Well, as far as the changes concerned, I mean, you know, a little bit more getting Dan involved in the run game. I mean, he has the ability to do some different stuff for us running the football wise. In the last few weeks, we've really kind of taken advantage of his ability to do it. And I just think he has that ability to give us that, you know, multidimensional kind of triple option look in a lot of things. So we try to do a little bit more with him, get him a little bit involved right there. You know, and try to play a little bit better run defense. I mean, that's one of the key things that we're trying to do with a little bit more movement, a little bit more pressure. You know, they had another big long gain and a couple throws right over the top of our heads right there. So, you know, it didn't turn out like we had hoped. But some other things have got to change. Some personnel has to change. I mean, we've got to get some guys out there that are working with the right mindset and play within the parameters of our defensive scheme, keep the ball in front of us, and they can tackle. So there's a lot of things that have to continually change.
Could you attribute some of the success that the Bobcats were able to have in the run game was because of the fact that you have some young guys out there playing on your defensive side of the ball?
Well, you know, at this point in the season, you know, I would like to think they've gotten enough reps to see this stuff. And yeah, although we're very young right there, I mean, we should be making the tackles and getting the ball on the ground. We are having way too many explosive runs that are carrying, you know, 30, 40-plus yards and not really getting a hand on them. And that's very, very concerning because people are getting blocked or staying on blocks. So, you know, that's the thing I see more importantly is the hat and hands technique of getting off blocks, fighting a defender, and making a football play instead of staying engaged. I mean, the running, the quickness, and the speed has got to come out at some point, and we've got to get off those blocks and make those plays.
Talking with Sean Elliott, head coach of the Georgia State Panthers. So you're thinking maybe, all right, I'm just trying to get inside your head coach, maybe some new starters. I mean, the end of the season here, right? I mean, you have Louisiana, and they have a chance to make statements playing both Appalachian State and Georgia Southern. That's a heck of a way to finish. But you're thinking maybe some new starters, get a really good look at them and try and set this up because you're building the program, right?
Yeah, we certainly are. And there's going to be some new faces out there in some key positions. I can promise you that. And these guys are going to have an opportunity to go out there and play the game of football and play it the right way. Try to get these guys on the ground defensively and both offensively. I mean, we're sitting on what I think probably is going to be our best offensive lineman. He hasn't even played a game, but he's got one heck of a future ahead of him. So You may see him, you know, with this. Now you can start utilizing this, the red shirt rule a little bit. So, you know, he can still go play these three games and get that red shirt and still have eligibility. You know,
who are we talking about here, Coach?
Hey, the big young man. I don't like to throw out the names.
Okay.
Fresh on him, but
he's keeping this a secret.
he knows the ability that he has. But it's just a fine young man in Travis Glover that we signed last year. And just a mountain of a man. I mean, he looks like one of those SEC guys that lies down in the trenches and kind of just manhandles you. He's still learning the game of football. He's from Doolittle County, and he's got a tremendous upside. His mental approach has got to come along and learning the game. But this young man right here is going to open holes. And when I say holes, he is going to open major holes for years to come.
All right, so I take it that we're talking with Sean Elliott, head coach of Georgia State. Ellington got a little bit dinged up last week, and then you had to put Aaron Winchester in. Are you going to be healthy? I guess you're saying right now he'll be good to start this week?
Well, I think we're playing it day by day. Right now he seems to be in good spirits, and his headache's going away. So, you know, you have to do what you need to do as far as the medical profession and make sure these young men are in good shape and ready to play. And we certainly don't want to put anyone out there that doesn't have the ability to go play at their best in 100%. And I know a lot of us, when you play the game of football, you very rarely are 100% once you start the football practice. But in this day and age with the head injuries and things that have come up, you got to be very, very careful. This is a young man that wants to go out and play. He told me on Sunday, he told me yesterday, and he's told me again today. So we'll just see how it goes. But, you know, all indications that he's coming along nicely, and hopefully he's going to be ready to go.
How did you think Aaron Winchester played since he was pressing the duty coach? What was his grade out?
You know, Aaron, he led us on two scoring drives, and that was impressive. And that's one of the things that we ultimately certainly like to do. I would like to see him stay in the pocket and deliver the football a little bit more. He gets back there and gets a little erratic with his footwork and breaks the pocket. And a lot of times there's good protection on him, and he doesn't have to do that where he can deliver the football. I think he has the ability to help us really in a run game. I mean, that's first and foremost where I see Aaron really doing it, because he's comfortable in that. He likes to utilize those legs. But his pocket passing has got to be a little bit cleaner, and he's got to settle those feet down and not look to scramble so much. But he did a fine job coming in there. And like I said, leading us on two scoring drives, getting us in the end zone, and not allowing the football team to quit, to continue to drive and continue to want to score. I mean, we scored right there with zero time on the clock, and the official looks at me and he says, "Hey, you want to kick the extra point?" I said, "What do you mean, do I want to kick the extra point?" "Yes, I do." You know, so it's a fight to the very end, and that was good for our players to see us to continue to do. And it was good to see our offensive football team go out there and do it.
Sean Elliott, head coach of Georgia State. Well, you have a heck of a finish we mentioned. It starts with a road game at Cajun Field on Saturday at 5 o'clock on ESPN+ against Louisiana. The Raging Cajuns could score in a hurry. This could be a wide-open game, Coach.
It really could. You know, they're big and strong, athletic up front. I think they've got several good quality offensive line, and their backs are really, really capable. They like to come downhill at you and run the football. And, you know, if you've seen us, we have the inability right now to stop it. We're trying to make sure that matchup we can get in there. We're going to have to bring some safeties down, get them in the box and get them involved a little bit. Maybe put our corners a little bit more on isolation, but we've got to stop the run against this football team, the way they're having to, they've been scoring points. So, we're looking for an open, wide open game. We like to go running up and down the court with them, so to speak.
All right, well,
basketball season coming up.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, finish strong here, and that starts by being you already taken on Monroe, so Louisiana State champions, knock off Lafayette there, and get you a win on Saturday. So we're talking about a victory next week, Coach.
That's a great point. Let's go out there and be Louisiana State championships. I mean, it's something to play for. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Thanks, Coach.
Have a good one, Coach.
Yeah.
Sean Elliott, head coach, Georgia State, joining us this morning. Hey, Atlanta United supporters, you can join Mike, Connie, Jason Longshore, Jimmy Vance, Stoppage Time Live tonight at Fido in Buckhead, 7 to 8. All things Atlanta United headed towards the big game Sunday against NYCFC. They're going to be special guests, prize giveaways, streamed live on our Facebook from 7 to 8 tonight on 99 The Game's Facebook, but you want to be there in person at Fido in Buckhead. When we get back, you just heard Sean Elliott. Now Kirby Smart. What does Kirby Smart say? Now that the Dogs have won the East, and that next as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.